Well, hey, Redemption Church, I just want to tell you that I'm super excited to introduce my Tanner Hogue today, who is our guest speaker. He's going to be preaching on the fifth commandment, how to honor your father and your mother. But Tanner's just a really special guy to me. I love him. He's been around at Mercy Hill for a while, and he's a leader there now. I'll let him introduce more about himself to you, but really excited to have Tanner here. Why don't you guys help me welcome Tanner up here, all right?
What's up, y'all? How you doing? I'm digging the vibe here in Roanoke, you know? I like it. Beautiful drive in. It's nice crisp weather. It's 2021. Can we just say amen? That is not 2020 one time. I'm happy to be here. It's just kind of an exciting time. I know it's just another day with a name of January 3rd or whatever, but it feels fresh, you know what I'm saying? So I'm really excited. Bunch of people going back to work tomorrow. It's just got a buzz to it. I'm really excited to be here. I'm honored to get to come here. I am from Greensboro at a church called Mercy Hill. And I know Carter from back in the day. He's actually my marriage counselor about 7 years ago, which is crazy to think about. I got three kids. We'll talk about them a little bit. This is fun stuff. I hope y'all are getting to know him. Hello to those of y'all online. So when Carter asked me to come speak and he told me the topic, he said, it's the fifth commandment. You're in a series on the Ten Commandments. I was like, okay, that's what's up. I was really excited. It's like the Ten Commandments are a big deal, you know? And they're a big deal even if you're not a Bible reader. Maybe you've never read the Bible, but you've probably heard that phrase, Ten Commandments. It's a landmark. I'm like, all right, I can't mess this up, you know? The Ten Commandments can get a bad rap, okay? Let me tell you what I mean by that. It can come off like God is just a rule-giving, command-giving, and people don't really understand them, maybe even the way they're worded sometimes. We don't really understand them, and we think God is all about rules. So you got a guest speaker speaking about a command. I'm like, what do I need to do here, Lord? Why is the law good? Why is it good? So I want to tell you a story. I was thinking about the birth of my oldest, my son Maverick. Okay, he's 2.5 now, but I remember when he was born like it was yesterday. You go to the hospital, huge moment, the baby is born, you get handed your son, you're just like overwhelmed, right? You're just like, this is incredible, the joy off the charts. You're just having fun, and you know, then you go back to this room, and it's kind of incredible, because you get a nurse at a button. Like, you can push a button and somebody's there to help you, amen? Like, you've got all this help. You got TV just there. You can speak into stuff, room service. I'm like, this is incredible. But there's something they don't tell you that also happens, okay? You don't sleep. Sleep deprivation is something I had never experienced until that weekend. Then your child starts pooping black stuff. It's like tar. Okay, it's the grossest thing I've ever seen. Sorry, spoiler alert for some of y'all there. But it's just, they don't tell you about that. Okay, and then something really crazy starts to happen after a couple days. They're like, okay, start packing up your stuff. And I'm like, And they're like, get it all together. They bring you like two or three carts, and you're like this massive caravan walking down the hospital floors. And everybody's like pointing at you and stuff. I'm like, and they start kind of talking to you like, it's been great having you here. And I'm like, babe, why are they talking to like that, babe? Why are they saying that? She's in a wheelchair. I'm like, you're not hurt. Like, I know you just had a baby, but I'm like, what is happening? What are they doing to us? They can't kick us out. I liked it there. It captured my joy. It was the highlight. It was the moment I became a dad. I liked it. So when they started talking like that and the big doors open up at the front, and they're like, all right, sir. And she's getting out the chair. And I'm like, what do you mean, all right, sir? You need to get in the car, nurse. I need you to come with me. You have helped me, right? I was freaking out because my goal was to keep the joy of the moment going. Something had started and I wanted the joy. But then my wife was like, babe, we got this. Right? We know what to do. Hold the boy's neck, okay? You got to hold the neck. He's a ball of mush, okay? You know how to put him in the car seat. You know how much he's got to eat, how many ounces. You know how much he's got to sleep in the day. It's like 18 hours when they're first born or something. It's crazy. That sounds incredible. And you know what needs to happen for him to thrive. So my goal was to raise my son and to keep the joy going, and I thought it would be best to stay in the bubble. But in reality, the joy of being a dad is actually functioning as one, not just kind of freezing the moment. It was to walk in dadness. Amen, somebody. So the idea is, like, to walk in the joy of dadness, I needed rules. I needed to hold his head up. That's not like, oh, gotta hold his head up. You know, it's like, no, you get to hold his head up so he doesn't die, sir. Right? Like, that just makes sense to us. In that sense, guidelines, rules, law, it is good because it captures the joy and allows you to walk in it. And for the believer, that is what the law is. The law is something, not that we have to do, but it is a joy that when done under the Lord, with the Lord, for the Lord, leads to life. It's not something we dread. It's not a weight. It's a joy. It's something we get to walk in because we want to walk in the identity of the new birth we've received in Christ. Amen. Now, We're going to talk about this, and we're going to flesh it out, but that really just helps me. And for others of us that don't follow Jesus yet, I'm hoping that for you, you'll see that there is more to the law than just the do's and the don'ts. If you've heard that, or that's the way you interpret it, there is more to it than that. So I pray you would lean in today. So the Ten Commandments, you know, you got no other gods before me. Carter said God wants our all. You got no other images, and that shows that God determines the terms of a relationship, not us. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Honor God's name and remember the Sabbath by resting in God. So I get the privilege of talking about the fifth commandment. And before I do that, I would love to pray. So let's pray together. Father, I love you. And I'm thankful to be here, to be in you. I'm thankful for the people that are gathered here and online. Lord, I know anytime your word is getting open, There's just so much stuff going on in our heads. We're thinking about football. We're thinking about school. We're thinking about work. We kind of think we already know what we need to know sometimes. God, would you humble us right now? Would you slow us down? Give us the peace of mind, the presence to lean in and trust you. And would you surprise us with your goodness? Would you sustain us and nourish us, encourage those who are down, convict those who are proud, and wake us up, Lord? We pray in your mighty name. Amen. Okay, let's read our text together. This comes from Exodus chapter 20, and the fifth commandment is in verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. I'll read it one more time. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Somebody say honor. Hey, I like that. So I get the passage on honoring your father and mother. As a middle school pastor, a former high school math teacher, and a dad of three under three, I'm very excited. Because I'm like, I need to understand this stuff. It's not exactly the commandment you walk around your house talking about, is it? It's not the one where you're like, oh, got to honor my parents today, you know? Like, you think you kind of got it, but you're like, what more is to it than, I don't know. It's like that book on the shelf that's collecting some dust, maybe. And many of us have the false assumption that it only applies to kids. That's not true. There's something for all of us here today. There's actually a lot in this text. And what we're going to see is this. Honoring one's parents is central to loving God and neighbor. It's central to it. It's the fifth commandment. It's right after the three, all about the Lord. You got the Sabbath, and the next five are all don'ts. They're all don'ts from here on out. Don't murder. Don't sleep with nobody, not your wife. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness, and don't covet. Right in the middle, honor your father and mother. So this is a big deal. We're going to look at four aspects of this commandment. We're going to break it down four ways. Here we go. Number one, the call to honor. We're going to talk about the call, the effect, the struggle to honor, and then the strength. So we got the call of honor. What does that mean? Honor your father and mother. Honor them. What does that mean? Every time I hear that word, I watch too much Judge Judy growing up, and I just think of All Rise, and she just walks in just mad. She's like, tell me how much you lost on the car. No, I don't care. She just starts talking. I love Judge Judy. She's incredible. But the call of honor is deep. So the root word here means weight or weighty. So it literally means to give someone or something weight. It's an internal attitude of respect courtesy, reverence to the person that you're talking about. And it's so interesting to me because think about what God could have said. He could have said, love your parents. He could have said, trust your parents. He could have said, obey your parents, right? I think the Lord is smart. I do. That sounds crazy, right? The Lord is smart. He's a genius. I think he understands this word gets at something that he's calling us to do regardless of the quality of our parents. Because the idea is not everyone's parents might be trustworthy. I could think of many situations. Abandonment. There's so many of parents who have, you know, for whatever reasons are struggling and we can't trust them. Or love your parents, like from in an emotional love kind of way. There might be some real wounds that make that really hard, right? Or trust, you know, some of these words allude to things that honor might entail, but is not limited to, right? So we're going to talk about that. So could it mean to obey? Yes. Could it mean to trust? Yes. Could it mean to love? Yes. Speak well of? Absolutely. But it's not zeroed in on any one of those. Honor is something deeper. And I just think that's kind of cool right off the bat, you know? I think the Lord is just smart. And for everyone in this room, I don't know your story here today. And you don't know my story, you know? We all got different parents. I don't know if you have good ones or bad ones. I don't know if you have good memories in your head right now or hard ones at this thought of even hearing this topic. I do believe the Lord has something for us. And some of us weren't even raised by our parents. And I think a lot of what we're hearing here today can apply to those that are filling that role in your life. Amen, somebody. So I do want to just say that off the bat. There's a lot of good principles here, even if your situation is different. And I do think the Lord has something for us, even for those of us that do have some really hard situations. So to honor is to respect, give reverence to in some kind of way. One pastor said it in a way I really like. He said, honoring is a moral decision. It's not based on emotions. So it's not something that is just a supernatural, like a really easy kind of response to you're feeling good and lovey-dovey, therefore love them. Honor is just, it's something deep, and it doesn't have qualifications and conditions in that verse, did it? It just said honor. Didn't say honor the good ones. It didn't say honor them when they're loving you well. That's hard for us. Only speak well of them when things are at peace between y'all. When y'all got a 2-week streak of no fights, honor them. No, it just says honor them, right? That's hard, but that is part of the weight that the Lord is bringing to us here. And y'all, it's not just our lips the Lord is talking about, right? Jesus says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, referring to the Pharisees, which we're going to talk about later. So there are going to be times where it's really hard in our natural state to honor them, but that is the call because it is a moral call, and it's also a timeless call. So it's the same call to a 5-year-old as it is to a 45-year-old, right? We think of the 5-year-old, right, with two parents at home, honor your father and mother, and just telling them they need to do it. It's also true if you're a 45-year-old, one of your parents died in the last few years, and the other one has dementia, and it's really hard right now. The call is the same because it's a timeless call. One particular way I'm convicted of the weight of what honoring is with the way we speak about our parents. Man, just that alone, the way we speak about them is just so convicting. Y'all, we live in an age right now, and I think there's some good in this, where we're very into analysis of our familial environment and our upbringing, which I think is good, right? It's like, hey, in some sense, we're all a product of our environment. We need to analyze kind of like, why are you operating that way? Relationships with certain individuals, impact things, all that is dope. I'm for it all. I'm not anti any of that. But this is what I'm saying. Go read 1 and 2 Kings and look at every king. And when it says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, it doesn't say because of anybody or anything. It just says they did or they didn't. You'll have a couple good kings in a row, and then the next son is the worst. And he does worse than any king ever before him. And it doesn't say because of anyone. It just says he did it, you know? So we got to balance that a little bit of like the Bible seems to view one's morality and who one is. The Lord is going to weigh us, You know, so I think there's value in looking back, and that's not to undo any of that. And I've looked at that stuff, and I'm still looking, and there's a lot of my family I see in me, good and bad. Okay, I'm not anti that stuff, but I am saying we can be dishonoring if every time we bring up our parents, we bash them. We're like, I'm only this way because my dad was. I'm only this way because my mom was. My mom was addicted to TV, so I am. It's like, it's like you see how we're kind of we can dishonor them by blaming them for everything. And that in our culture is pressing in on us with that just a little bit. I think the Lord knew what he was doing when he called us to honor fallen people. He knew, like at the time of the command, people are fallen. So he knows you're asking you to honor somebody who's a sinner. Like he knows that, you know? Even the best parent is a sinner. The best parents are fallen and going to be hard to honor. And the worst parents in some kind of way still deserve some kind of honor. And that's hard for us. And again, y'all know your stories, and I'm sure there are going to be a lot of conversations coming out of this. Number two, the effect of honor. Verse 12 said this, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So there's a promise on this command that isn't on any of the others, if you go read them. Next five, it just says, don't do a bunch of stuff. The first few, it talks about the Lord's name, talks about some different things. With the Sabbath, there's some weight to that if you read it. But this is the only one with a promise. Ephesians 6, Paul points that out. He says, that's the only one, children, that has a promise attached to it. There's something about this promise. Y'all, what we got to remember is that the children of Israel just got out of 400 years of slavery. They're under the Egyptians for 400 years, okay? They get set free, redeemed, and now they're walking to the promised land. What the Lord is doing is he's breathing their freedom into reality, and then he's about to place them somewhere and say, now go do it, okay? So that's what's happening, okay? No other nation is doing the stuff the Lord is calling them to. These nations are wicked as all get out, y'all. Sacrificing kids. I mean, it's just crazy. So the Lord is setting them up to be such a bright light to the nations, and it seems that honoring of parents is crucial to not becoming like those nations, because they're going to walk through and they're going to say, they do things this way and they do things that way, and they're taking those notes, right? And a lot of what they end up getting in trouble for in years to come is copying other nations. We want a king like other nations, all those things. And it seems that honoring parents is central to being unique. So how does this uniqueness start to affect a people? I kind of think of it in concentric circles, okay? You got the individual doing it, you got the family it's done in, and then you got society that it's done in, okay? So let's start with the individual all the way in. When one is honoring their parents, there's a humility baked into your first and most primary relationship in life. Your very first words are mama, dada, daddy, whatever. You sleeping, you pooping, you feeding, you need them so badly. You are utterly dependent, and you trust them to feed you. You trust them to take care of you. You need them so bad, and you would not exist without them. And that just bakes humility into your view of reality. Secondly, in honoring our parents, we learn that we express our love for God in our relationships with others. Okay, so follow the flow of the Ten Commandments. The way I love God and value him begins to play itself out with other people, and it starts with mama and daddy. Love God, love neighbor. Love of God is expressed in love of neighbor, right? Think about later, you know, 1 John, James, all these, how can you see a brother and not give him what he needs when he's cold and say you love God, right? In the same way, how can you say you love the Lord and not honor the two people right there in front of you, the first people? That's kind of the rhetoric that the Bible is kind of implying here, is the battleground of love for God is with others, and it starts with mama and daddy. We learn that life is more about us and God than it is us and our parents. God, you're asking me to honor them? So a lot of times we think we're mad at mom and dad. Be mad at the one asking you to honor them. Like, in a sense, life is more about us and God than it is about us and our parents. It's just the battleground to do it. So we think we're mad at mom and dad, but it might be more we're mad at something the Lord is asking us to do. I think about a young person, 14-year-old and they think it's time for them to get a cell phone, and mom and dad's preference is that they don't. This isn't a moral decision. It's just a preference that they're making in their household. And that kid is livid, angry, because something is being hindered. My popularity is on the line, mama and daddy, right? Or I think about a 40-year-old who now they've got a parent who has a lot of health issues, and now my free time is going down the drain, and I'm angry. If I really was honest, I'm annoyed that I have to use my time to help them. In both cases, your problem ain't with the parent, boo-boo. It's with the Lord, ultimately. I hate to break it to you. I don't know how else to say that, but that's the truth. We're learning this by being called to honor our parents. It's something deeper. Do I trust God enough to operate in this relationship the way he's calling me to, even if the agent in the relationship I don't like right now? You track it with me. So one day you might be married and you find that loving your spouse gets difficult. And there become days where you love the spouse because God says love your wife, not because your wife is lovely to you in that moment, right? That is being baked into us by being asked to honor our parents. Honor your parents. It doesn't mean they're honorable all the time. It's not the same thing. That's not what the command says. It just says honor them. We learn the value of doing what God says on God's terms and not our terms. That's what we're learning in that process. We think our parents are smarter than us, maybe. God definitely is smarter than us. And he, that's his call on us. And that's just hard, man. And we're learning to trust that he knows. So that cell phone example is such a good one, because I've got a classroom of students back at my church that example, they are ready to go to war over, because it's not moral. And you can't point to them in this book the exact, this is from the Lord, that you can't do it. And that's exactly why you should honor them. You know what I mean? That's exactly why. You can have a discussion about it and love them and disagree, and we'll get into all that. This is good stuff, y'all. I love this. God is doing something in us as we honor our parents. It's in those hard moments. It's in the repentance that comes because we're so angry. We got to repent, and then we come back. We're being made more into the image of Christ, Christian. I know you think your world is being ruined by them at times. Now honor them. And in so doing, you become more like God. Okay, let's go to the next circle, family. What happens in the family is there's a reciprocal cycle, should be, of the child learning the value of honor, and the parents are seeking to live worthy of being honored, right? They're trying to be honorable people. You know, they're not trying to just be lords over you. And we read the New Testament, how to use your power, not the way the Gentiles do, but as servants. So parents, I want to talk to y'all for just a second about seeking to be worthy of receiving honor. You want to know how to get there? You got to be consistent in word and deed in your love for God. There is nothing worse than communicating something your kids know just isn't true. They just know it. You don't value that. You value this. And then you hold me to the standard of valuing that when you value that. It just doesn't work, you know? I was listening to one pastor said, it is almost better to abdicate or throw off your responsibility to parent because you're consistently just abdicating. That makes more sense to a kid than to harshly be the type of parent who commands what you don't embody. It's almost like if I just didn't parent, the kid might be better off than if I am this kind of person. And then I don't, in my heart, embody any of the love or the things that I'm calling you to. I thought that was really interesting. It's not, I mean, it ain't Bible, but it sounds kind of right to me. I'm like, I think he's on to something. Makes sense. Some people have horrible childhoods and end up pretty good. And then some people who, you know, parents were around doing some, you know, I don't know. Y'all make sense of that one. But another way, parents, teach them what it means to honor. That is your job. Teach your kids. Don't just start yelling at them about needing to honor you. Teach them that. Teach them that. Open up the Bible and teach them that. Teach them the habit of checking their own desire. You're right, son. That is a preference I'm asking you to lay down. Here's what that looks like in Scripture, you know? Hold them accountable to not honoring you. Not because your pride is on the line, parent, but because their blessing is on the line. As children of God, right? They want to be blessed, so help them be blessed by learning how to honor. Your pride ain't on the line when they dishonor you. It's the glory of God is on the line. We get so in our feelings as parents. How dare this person I made? It's like, their bigger problem is they don't know how to honor you, which the Lord is calling them to, you know? I didn't plan this, but I heard this one time when I was at Orlando Studios. I thought that was incredible, and this is just free. You take it. I was listening to Daniel Radcliffe, who played Harry Potter, and somebody asked him, say, I don't really care if Harry Potter, whatever. But he said this in the interview. I thought it was incredible. They said, how do you not let it go to your head? He said, they're in love with Harry Potter, not with Daniel Radcliffe. Anyone who played that role, they would have loved. I was like, that man's a genius. And so in a sense, parent, you need to be honored because God's calling them to honor you. That should humble you. So we shouldn't take it so personal when they're not honoring us. It's like, man, view it as like, this is God's call on my kid's life, and I want this for them. I'm not going to demand it of them, but I am going to hold them accountable to it because it's for their good. Show them what it means to honor. When your kid gets cut from the basketball team, how do you talk about the basketball coach? How do you use your words to talk about people in positions of power around you? Show them how to honor. Don't hold it over their heads. Pray it into their hearts. Encourage honor. Celebrate honor. Model honor. Children should see their parents honoring the grandparents. When you get off the phone with your parents, do you trash them? I mean, these are just basics, you know, but I'm like, I went through this. And I was like, holy moly, you know. What is that doing if you get off the phone with their grandpa and you're like, grandpa's so annoying, you know, he wants to talk to me. And it's like, well, what do you think gonna happen to you, my guy? Okay, so make, this is, man, one pastor said this, I was like, that is so good. You don't get your kids good at honoring you by doing honoring lectures all the time. Just show them Jesus. The dude stood before people trying to murder him. And just was silent, just loved on him. Told Pilate, you wouldn't have that power if the Lord ain't give it to you. What, now what you want to say? Okay, he was just so humble. Go to Philippians 2. Show him equality with God. Jesus didn't account it something to be grasped. He was so humble. Let's look at Jesus together, son or daughter. Good stuff. And then don't overthink it. Just love God. One of my favorite movies, Cool Runnings. Oh, I used to love when that came on TBS as a kid. It's a bobsledding movie. Four dudes, if you haven't seen it, come on, people. Go watch it. But basically, they are a Jamaican bobsled team. This is a real story. And they get to the Olympics. Everybody's making fun of them. And their captain thinks the way to get to the next level is to get so serious and become like the Swiss. And he's commanding his team to act like them. And finally, they're like, stop. You killing us, man. This is so boring. Like, we don't want to be them. And then they just be yourself. Enjoy God and bring your kid along. That's what we got to do, parents. And when this reciprocal effect is happening of honoring and seeking to be worthy of honor, it's not perfection in the household, but there should be some peace, some joy in that kind of reciprocation. The child should be able to say, okay, when mama and daddy are tripping, they usually come, repent, talk to me. When I get out of line, I know I go into timeout and do this thing, but then they love me. Like, there should be some peace that otherwise wouldn't be there. You see, this is, let's talk society. Biggest, let's go society. Biggest circle. This relationship is our first encounter of reality. You're interpreting life through the lens of, I live in this house with these people. They're kind of in charge here, right? That's a big deal. This is our first go-around to how we treat people, how we respond to being told what to do. It starts with this assumption that I'm created. They kind of created me, and their grandma and grandpa made them. Who made grandma and grandpa? They had a mommy and daddy. It's like, oh, we're all made. Yes. There is a God above us all. There's this objective reality and humility just kind of in all of us. Everybody's got somebody to honor, right? That's kind of how society starts to be shaped. Everybody got somebody to honor, and everybody should be worthy of honor eventually just because God calls you to honor. So it's just kind of cool when you think about it that way. Think about it, y'all. Everyone in the entire people of Israel was being told the same thing and had somebody in their head that applied to. Nobody's like, not me. I wasn't born. You know, it's like, if you were born, this applies to you. So it's a huge circle of honor. It's going to impact the way I view positions of power. God, kings, priests in that time, right? Starts to impact the way I view these categories of power around me. came from somewhere in the same way that this category of parent came from somewhere, right? So these categories are starting to happen, and I might not like the individual in the category, but the way I operate in the category in somebody. So my fourth grade math teacher annoys the mess out of me. But I am called to, you know, they're not my parent, but there is that it's baked in of like, you are above me. And like, I can't just dismiss you because I don't like you. And right now in our nation, we got a problem with this. I don't care what your political, what your this or that is, we're really struggling to honor the positions of power. We're struggling with this. Everyone is struggling with. And it's mainly this thing right here, our words. We just trash people. Or with these, I hate you. Let me just, and it's usually under the banner of, but what they stand for. And man, I get, man, don't, apologetics, I understand. But we know when we're trying to bring someone down. We know that. And we're losing the weight that is supposed to be baked in. I think one of the biggest ways a society should be marked by the fifth commandment is first with our parents and then positions of power in general, the way we talk about them. If all we were was really gentle, disagreeable people on things, people would be like, man, they believe some weird stuff, but they do it in a good way. I don't think that's the rep we have. Amen? I'm just saying, I don't think that's the rep we tend to get, you know? Man, y'all with me. The struggle to honor. Y'all, when a 14-year-old gets told their bedtime is 30 minutes earlier than they think it should be, or a 45-year-old gets told their parents are coming to Christmas after being around everybody up in the city and you got babies and you worried about quarantine and COVID, these things get real. It's a struggle for the 14-year-old or the 45-year-old. It's like, conflict, And it's not just super clear moral things. It's like, this is hard, right? And the Lord takes this struggle seriously. Check the scripture out from 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. You wouldn't think disobedient to parents belong in that list. You know what I mean? Like, but it is. I didn't write that. That's a tough list. Out at the root of it seems to be what it said, love of self. That's what it said, love of self. When self is on the throne, loving parents will always be an inconvenience. There's a limit to how much we're willing to. I'll go with it as long as loving them keeps my agenda, and then once it's gone, I'm out. So it's a form of godliness, but we ain't got the power. We see this with Jesus and the Pharisees. There's a story in Matthew 15. You can write that down, Matthew 15, where the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus in a little commandment game that they're always doing with him. And he's like, y'all are tripping. Y'all tripping so much. Y'all make traditions that means you take your money you should be supporting your parents with, and you give it to God so you don't have to support your parents. And in so doing, you avoid what the law was written for. And they're like, and the whole point he was trying to say was, you love yourselves. Look what you're doing with your money. You won't even honor your own parents with it and support them and help them. You just give the money to God. So the self is on the throne, Pharisee, and I see right through what you're doing. At the root of bitterness and resentment tends to be a frustration that what we think we need to be happy is being blocked. If we're mad at someone often, frustration, bitterness, it tends to reveal something's being blocked. And for a child, that's usually the parent they think is the blocker, therefore the anger and the resentment. So what a lot of kids learn to do is I will do what you tell me to do, but you ain't got my heart. Promise you that. Wait until I get up out of here. 74 more days till I, you know, like, and that's what we do. We're like, what do I got to do? But you ain't got my heart. Okay. Now, here's the problem with that, people. eventually the parents go away, but year over year, if we're doing that, that's what we're doing with the Lord a lot of times. That's the issue. We create the same kind of thing where I'm in charge, I'll give you some money, I'll go on Sundays, I'll do this and I'll do that, but no to all this. You know what I mean? You don't get all of me. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Eh. Live as a living sacrifice, Romans 12. Eh. But I'm in. And it just, the resentment is what shows that. Once you're a blockade to my freedom, I'm out. And that's a lot like the garden, isn't it? Echoes of the garden with Adam and Eve. In our hesitancy to honor our parents, we see our echoes of our hesitancy to trust God's goodness. They're linked, those two. It's just an echo. We don't, like, I got to go get the blessing, Lord. You ain't going to give it to me. I got to go get it. Here's what I'm not saying. Blindly follow everything your parents tell you to do. That is not what I'm saying. In fact, I will go so far as to say sometimes the best way to honor your parents is to lovingly oppose where they're at if their will is anti-God. Right? I'm going to honor you in how I disobey you because my ultimate call is to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the way I'm going to display that is by gently telling you, you ain't telling me not to read God's word, for example. Like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And you got to find a humble way to get some little up in you of just, Mama, I love you. And I don't care what you do. I'm going to read the word. I got the app. What you going to do? Take my phone? What you going to do? Take my Bible? What you going to do? I got one of them pocket things they give out over at the corner. What you going to, you know. It's like you got to develop this. I'm not saying blindly follow everything your parents say. That's not what I'm saying. Open your Bible. Pray with your parents. Talk to them like, hey, parents, let's talk about this one. But what I am saying is don't be so quick to assume that the pushback that arises up in your heart is a pure motive pushback. You know, it might not be. We are so selfish, so self-centered, and for the early part of our lives, the parents seem to be the blockade to what we want. And I think that points to what we do our whole lives with the Lord. That's what I'm saying. If only they slash he would get out of the way, I would be good. And it's their presence that annoys me. I think in a room this size, some of us have said some unimaginable things to our parents. I bet we have. Things we would run and hide if everybody else in the room knew. Some of us would move up out of Roanoke, I promise you. Like, we've said things and done things with the intent to hurt. Whether it's the six-year-old saying, I'm running away, getting my bag, getting the teddy bear, and just, I'm out. To the just draw-down fights some of us have had with parents and yelling at them. Y'all, it seems that God in his word is trying to get us to see that honoring our parents doesn't hold us back, but it's designed to aid in our freedom. That's what it's designed to do. It's not a blanket to throw on every situation, but more often than not, let's say that, it's a teenager who might even have parents who either don't love the Lord or say they do and he knows they don't really value him, or he or she knows that. And even for that person, God intends to bless you in this process. You learning how to disagree with them while honoring. You learning how to follow them while honoring. You learning how to submit. You learning how to challenge them. There's a blessing there, but how do we get there? The strength to honor. Y'all, God wants to bless us. It comes with a blessing. But the problem is, if that blessing is contractual, when you honor, there will be long days in the land. Right? If it's purely contractual, the Israelites are done for, and you and I are done for, aren't we? Because not only will we blow, already have, even if it started fresh right now, we'll blow it again, okay? We will. We need God's grace so bad. We are not the sons and daughters who have honored our parents perfectly, are we? We haven't. We have fallen so short so many times. We've done it to positions of power. We've done it all over the place with what we say, how we feel, how we talk about them, hated people in our hearts. But there is one who honored everyone perfectly. Honored his biological parent, biological Mary. Mary and Joseph, you know. Honored his parents perfectly. Honored unjust positions of power perfectly, and honored his heavenly Father perfectly. You know what I'm talking about. Let me show you a really cool passage in Exodus 4. Check this out. So the Lord is telling Moses what to go back to Pharaoh and say, and watch what he says. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son. And I told you, let my son go so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son. So what's happening here is the entire people of Israel are being referred to as God's son. The whole people, you're my son. You're my firstborn, my son, my chosen people. So Israel is the son. Abraham was God's chosen instrument through which the whole nations would be blessed. Abraham has a family. Family becomes a nation. And that is God's son. He's saying, let my son go. Let my people go, Pharaoh. And then the 10th plague, Passover. If you don't have the blood over your door, you lose your son. And in so doing, he saved his son, right? How do we make sense of this? Israel, the people of God, were supposed to be the son who honored their father by walking in the commandments, walking in the fear of the Lord perfectly for his glory, but they blew it. They blew it. They were so doubting of his goodness. Even the second they walked through the Red Sea, they doubted him. And that is what we do. They were to be a kingdom of priests. They weren't. Jesus is that son who Israel wasn't. Jesus is the child who you and I have not been. He is the one who perfectly stepped in, perfectly obeyed. We see it in Luke 2 at the temple when he honors his parents and submits to them. We see it when he's before Pilate and they are just harassing him, false charges left and right. He's just silent. He stood accused. And ultimately, he honored his father, his heavenly father, perfectly. And he didn't go through what he went through on the cross because he was a disobedient son, but because we were the disobedient son, because Israel was, because we blew it. He was the obedient and perfect son who traded places with the disobedient and dishonoring enemies of God so that we could become sons again. John 1:12, write that one down. He came to his own and his own did not receive him, but to those who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God who were born not of blood nor the will of man, but of God. So in the life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Christ, we get his perfection, his having honored in our place in Christ stands in before the Father. And when God sees us, he sees that obedient son, not the person who did those blow-ups and things we were just talking about. So what do? Make much of God by honoring your parents. Unbeliever, let me talk to you real quick. Hopefully you're intrigued by this. Hopefully. This is more intriguing than what you thought just honoring and you know, whatever you thought coming in. God wants to bless you. God's law is complex. It's wise. It's intended for your good, but it's not easy. What do I mean by that? Hopefully you recognize by now you can't do this. You can't do that. Can't. There's only one who could do this. Only one who did do this. So the first thing that should happen to you is you should be exposed and embarrassed of your sin. That's what should happen. We have said things to, y'all, we have done just the worst stuff. Imagine if I had video footage, unbeliever, right now of what you did with your parents. Some of those knockdown, dry-out arguments. You would leave the country. It's just so embarrassing to think how wicked we've been towards them. And what that does is it leaves us running for cover for a sacrifice, right? Not just of an animal one time over and over and over every single time, but of someone who would come and be the kind of child you weren't to your parents. So who perfectly loves God, lives for his glory, not his own, isn't a lover of self. That's what we have in Christ. This son is Jesus. Trust in him today. And once you do, God's law can become a pathway to joy, like you're walking out the hospital, but you got to be born again first. The Christians in here should have some joy, a little pep in their step walking out of here, because you've blown it just as bad. The difference is we haven't lived this perfectly. We don't put confidence in our ability to do it perfectly, but you know what? God is rooting for you, believer. He's with you. He's compassionate towards you today. You might have some repenting to do, but you can know that he is for you. You might have some really hard conversations with your parents. Maybe the best way to honor them is to go challenge them on something in a really loving way. God is with you. He's for you. He's not against you. Unbeliever, you should walk out of here anxious because you can't do this and you're on your own. And God wants to bless you, but you got to be in him for him to bless you. Trust in Jesus today. Believer, how are we doing with honoring? How are we doing with honoring our parents? How are we doing with honoring positions of power? How are we using our words? How are we talking about people? Are we using lip service student with the intention of in 18 months or 12 months or 6 months, or some people are like, next week, I'm out of here. Is that where we're at? Regardless where you are today, God wants to bless you. Maybe some families just need to get together and repent. Call somebody up, tell them you love them. Look to Jesus today. His humility is staggering. You know, he's the only one who did this. He didn't wave that flag of like, I honor my father. He died for those who blew this. You know, it's staggering. It's not just a cool example. It's not just motivating that he did that. It is staggering, and it is a life source and a power that God intends for us to walk in this life. Eternal life starts now. Would you marvel at this king, believer, who did this for you and honor your parents? Let's pray together. Lord, you are good. You are a good, good father. Lord, you know what I don't. You know every story in here. You know the conversations that are coming. You know the action steps that need to be done. Lord, you're so good. We trust you. Thank you for sending your son to live the way he did. Because we can never do it, Lord. We love you. We trust you. Please help us. Please, Lord, give us faith, we pray. In your mighty name, amen.